Welcome to the Dream Chasers set. The festival kicked off in a big way last Saturday night. It was a bit cold, but it was still a lot of fireworks and a lot of fun to be had. Boys, I presume you're both out there. Patch, I know you were there because you did some fantastic interviews. Corey, were you out there as well, mate?
I was, mate, ducking for cover. I got here at about 9:30 in the morning, had to move furniture around, and lucky I packed the whole suitcase because I had to go through plenty of clothes. Four pairs of socks I went through, my feet were that wet. So it was a fair effort by our track staff to be able to put together the track in a really good condition and to have some real clean, fair racing and to see these fast dogs run fast times. There's nothing more special at this time of year.
Fantastic. And Patch, I heard turnover was really strong. You'd be pleased about that.
Yeah, exceptional result turnover wise. And we saw a similar spike last year for Top Gun Night. However, the Top Gun Night that we just had was 17% up on the year before. And I think the ninth highest Victorian Greyhound meeting of all time. So good signs. Hopefully we can maintain that over the next few weeks and everyone can soak up what is a really good period of time and hopefully learn a few things from Saturday night and then carry that into Melbourne Cup Heats next week. But of course, before that, shootout night on Friday.
Awesome. And we're going to go and have a look at those races on Saturday night a little bit later. But first, let's look at our feature races. We've got a couple to look at. Let's start with the laurels for the bitches. Let's throw the market up. Might go back to you, Corey. What are you making of this race at the moment?
I'm so stoked to see Zipper on Time down here in Victoria. She was so impressive in her early career starts up in New South Wales. She comes down to the powerful Thompson Kennel and she looks incredibly hard to beat. And it seems to be that the bookies haven't missed her either. But a dog that probably is flying under the radar a little bit and a little bit out of form or low on confidence, however you want to say it, is Dashing Slay. And I think she's drawn exactly where she wants to be. Zipper on Time can show some speed. And if Dashing Slay can get back to her best, where she was running that low 5-second sectional, she's so incredibly strong in the run home. She's drawn in the middle of the track, which I think suits because she does use a touch of it in the early stages. So I think Dashing Slay is probably the one that I want to hone in on. But to be fair, you could make a case for a lot of these in this Laurels. It's a fun edition of the Laurels, the Group 1.
Fantastic. Patch, how are you seeing it, mate?
Yeah, Zipper on Time is the most likely winner from my point of view. I mean, as Smithy mentioned, her form in New South Wales was great. And I don't think she could have performed better first up last Thursday night in Melbourne at Sandown Park than what she did, because she wasn't that good to begin. She wanted to get down towards the inside. She's got an inside draw now. And as much as I've heard people sort of pump the tyres up of Can You Excite Me in the early pace of which she can show, by the numbers, Zipper on Time's mid-race was unmatched. So you can find all of that data at grv.org.au/race data. But for Zipper on Time, I think she's going to go better than what she did last week, which is a pretty ominous thought for the rest of her opposition.
Fantastic. Boys, let's move to the shootout. And at this stage, we know that none of the reserves are running. So, take it away, Corey.
Look, Barefoot Zulu is the dog on everyone's lips at the moment, but I'm going to go with Kenya Tornado from the inside. And to be quite fair, this dog is Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know what you're going to get from him. The small field suits. Box number one should suit as well. Colac Kid will keep a pretty straight line, as will Barefoot Zulu. Kenya Ponga will try and get across from the outside. And I don't think Anthony Azzopardi's all that thrilled with the wide draw in the shootout for Kenya Ponga. It's an even field. The market suggests that the biggest name is Barefoot Zulu, but I want to be with Kenya Tornado from the inside. I think he'll get enough room to move in that first 20 metres, which is going to be all important in a shootout where every dog can break 29 seconds on their night.
Fantastic. Patch, how are you seeing it, mate?
Yeah, really difficult to be with a dog like Kenya Tornado. As Smithy mentioned, his efforts are inconsistent. So when he gets it right, he really gets it right. But I think from a body of work point of view, Barefoot Zulu has been unreal over the past month and a bit. For a greyhound that we knew had a lot of potential that hadn't put it all together, now he's doing that. So the format suits, as it does for all of these greyhounds. But I think with the way that Colac Kid has began in his past couple of starts, probably suggests it's unlikely they're going to fire out as well as what he did through that Cranbourne Cup series at Sandown. So the Barefoot Zulu, it goes in with the fastest form at the Meadows as well. And he deserves to be favourite from my point of view.
Fair enough. Boys, let's go back and look at the Top Gun Sprint. So we'll bring the race up. And, of course, Slick Splits wins it. Patch, you want to talk us through this one, mate?
Well, we found him last week. And is this that room that he got early was really important for him? Because as we highlighted, he's more than happy to be in that middle part of the track. So What we also learned through the data from Saturday night is the time to the first 20 metres in this race was far worse than what you would expect it to be. So he had a massive opportunity. He took it and he was absolutely superb. But not only making the most of the opportunity, he matched motors with Eriza Sparkles mid-race. And she's a powerhouse. So to go eye to eye with her and be able to go around the outside and still roll her, massive performance. I don't think it changes the way we perceive Slick Splits. I don't think it's sort of a turning point in his career, but it was just a good win and the circumstances certainly played in his favour.
It was his night. Why don't we bring the Melbourne Cup market up? And Corey, did anything jump out at you in that race that sort of tickles your fancy as a bet, long-range bet for the Melbourne Cup?
Oh, well, a lot of those runners are at the pointy end of the Melbourne Cup market, and so they should be. They're the best dogs in the land. And Slick Splits, he moves up into about that $9 range, and I think he's going to be hard to beat in any race that he contests. He's just furnishing into a really nice race dog. But to be honest, I think he prefers the Meadows rather than Sandown Park. So I'd probably look elsewhere. The dog that caught my eye in that race was Jungle Johnny. Where he gets to in the run in his races over 500 metres is the concern. But Eriza Sparkles, who has just been announced as a Phoenix runner for Ram Racing, I think she's the one I want to be with. She'll be exhibition trialing on Friday night in between races, and I couldn't have been more impressed with her at the Meadows. Her first go under race conditions there, and I think she's only going to improve. She's had 16 starts and has a bright, bright future, so she'd be the one that I'd be leaning towards for the Melbourne Cup at this stage.
Outstanding. Let's move to the Top Gun Stayers. This was a brilliant performance that we got without a trace. Boys, you know, we had Palawa King and Val Policella. They were the stars of the staying ranks. Where do you see Without a Trace up against those kind of dogs? I know it's, you know, long way to go to get to their level, but where is she at, do you think?
Well, personally, she's not going to be as entertaining as what Palawa King was, because obviously he was a different type. He had that value about him where he got back in fields and ran on, and he could just put the feet up and sip on a red wine and enjoy what he does. But Without a Trace, she's going to break hearts mid-race, as we've seen. So from an overall speed point of view, she's probably faster than what Palawa King was, and especially Val Policella as well. So she's just got to maintain it now, Rich. I mean, she's been faultless for a period of time, and if she's to maintain what she's doing, then she's going to have not only a massive end to the 2025, but her whole 2026 is going to be huge. The staying ranks aren't deep, so this is a real opportunity for her to take by the scruff of the neck and do some serious damage.
Let's pull the Bold Trees market up. Corey, can you sway anyone away from the $2.30 Without a Trace?
Oh, not really, to be honest, other than the fact that betting this far out into a price at around $2.30 is a tough one to take. You think about the fact that she's got to go through a heat and then into a final. As Patch touched on, it's not the strongest staying ranks at the moment, but she's a dog that has some early speed, is super strong at the back end of her races as well in comparison to those that run the sort of splits that she can. So she's going to be incredibly hard to beat. I'd probably let it go through to the keeper at that sort of price at this sort of time out, but she is an absolute star. She's good looking. She's very fast, and the team behind her do a fantastic job of promoting the sport. So I think Without a Trace is hitting her straps at the right time for the greyhound industry, to be honest.
Love it. Hey, let's move into your Friday night sets, boys. Patch, can I start with you, mate?
Certainly can. And I tell you what, we've highlighted some favourites here, which is not always sitting well in the stomach, but we're going to go to another one, and one that Smithy and I have both landed on, and that is Poor Oswald at Sandown on Friday night, race 5, number 1. He's just come up against a field here that's not of the strength, not of the depth of what he's normally up against from bad draws performing well. He's got a good draw here. He's flying at this point in time. The field's good. I think this is a massive free kick for him to build some confidence into Melbourne Cup heats next week. So here's the first of mine, race 5, number 1, Poor Oswald. We then go to race 11 for me, and this is more of an each-way chance, number 5 in Matchbox Beast. He won last week at Sandown in a field that's not up to what he faces on Friday night, but his turn of foot early was absolutely electric. So I've got no doubt he can go forward and lead this field that he finds himself in tomorrow night. Can he hang on? I'm not sure, but we're getting close to the double figure odds. I think it's a reasonable approach, a particularly place heavy for him. So he's going to be leading, and that is all important. Whether he can hang on, not sure, but that's the duo that I'm circling around tomorrow night at Sandown.
Great work. Thank you, mate. Corey, what have you got for us, champ?
I've got three. We'll roll with Fade to Black, who we didn't mention in the Top Gun stays there. Ended up running fourth. Probably went into that race a touch underdone as the second reserve. Was aiming up towards the Hume Cup, but stepped up to the 700 metres. I think we'll take plenty of benefit for that run. Does have to face Ethanol Water Pass, Mark, Late Night News, those sort of dogs. It's a high-quality racing race four, but I think Fade to Black is a great each-way chance. So race four, number two. And just echoing the sentiments of Patch there with Poor Oswald, I think this race absolutely sets up to suit. Just needs to make sure that he can get underneath Hong Kong, having its first run for Jason Thompson from box number six. But I think it will. I think Poor Oswald will go straight to the top and they will not catch him. And then race 11, number four, I'm taking on Patch here. I'm going with Daisy's Rory. I just think he's a bit more seasoned in this sort of company. I think he's drawn where he wants to be in the middle of the track. I have no doubt that Matchbox Beast is going to lead him up, but I think he might be able to tow him into the race. And if Matchbox Beast does get out in front of Daisy's Rory, carve across, take the runs of those drawn to the inside, Daisy's Rory will keep in the middle of the track, go round then down the back and be far too strong late. So race four, number two, race five, number one, and race 11, number four is my set for Friday night.
Outstanding, boys. Well, that wraps us up today. Short, sharp show, but plenty of info for everybody. And we'll get through this week, and then next week it starts to really heat up because we've got the heats of the Melbourne Cup and the heats of the Bowltrees. It's my favourite night of the festival. What about you, boys?
Yeah, well, for me it is. I mean, it's widely regarded and has been for a long period of time as the best night of racing of the year. You've got the best and the best competing for eight spots in a Melbourne Cup, and of course the best batch of stayers that we have go around in the Bowltrees. So as much as this Friday night is a terrific entree with the races that we've highlighted throughout the card, It is just a build-up to next Saturday night, which, of course, will be live on racing.com again. So looking forward to that, Rich. And, yeah, for the purists out there, it's literally Christmas.
It absolutely is. I'm a massive fan of seeing 12 Group 1 heats on one night. I'm obviously biased towards the Phoenix as the best night of the Dream Chasers Festival. But I think from a Greyhound purist perspective, next week, that's where you want to be. And I think if you can, get along on course, because Sandown put on one hell of a show for the night.
Love it, boys. I'll catch up with you next week. Have a good one.
Cheers,
James. Thanks, Rich.
Think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.